Thanks for tuning in to Farmer Theologian, a podcast designed to help you build deeply rooted practical theology. Let's get to work. All right, friends, welcome to a new episode and a new year of Farmer Theologian. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your support. In the little bit of time off, the last episode has done pretty well, so I pray that continuing to be an encouragement to you and challenging your thinking on faithful stewardship, particularly as you begin the new year. How are your resolutions doing? Hopefully they're going well. It's when this airs, we'll be 10 days into the new year. I pray that you're seeing the fruit of God's work in your life as you dedicate yourself to Him, and just pray that this podcast will be a great support to you in that in the new year. So real quick, before we begin with today's topic, let me encourage you. There are three specific ways you could help the show that I would very much appreciate. If you could subscribe on the platform you're listening to, if you haven't already, that would be great. Also, if you could leave a rating or review on that same platform. And then lastly, if you could share on social media, if you're on social media. I feel like it's becoming a trend to get off social media. And to be honest, I'm thinking about it even myself. But if you are still on social media, would you please share this episode? Let others know it encourages you and that it would be an encouragement to them as well. We don't have a marketing budget here for Farmer Theologian, so it's all on word of mouth. So any way that you could share and point others toward the show, that would be very much appreciated. I'm very excited for a new year and praying not only that today's episode, but every episode that we have this year will encourage you, dear listener, oyente querido, dear listener, we want to encourage you. Today's topic is on the gospel and the center, or on centering the gospel. This is a topic that's being talked about often, but I don't think it's very, it is very rarely defined. I don't think it's ever very well defined. It's almost become a Christianese cliche to center the gospel or to be gospel-centered. In some ways, it's become kind of a caricature or a pejorative used to criticize the mega conference and parachurch ministries of the early 2000s. Some, perhaps most of that criticism is warranted. But the problem with those movements was certainly not the gospel or making the gospel central. So perhaps we shouldn't give up completely on the idea of centering the gospel, but rather we should rightly understand it and apply it faithfully. I think the sad part about those movements, though some may have started with good intentions, I don't know people's hearts, maybe some started with sinister intentions, but either way, centering the gospel really became a cliche of no real meaning. And so it's not a fault with the concept itself, but it's a lack of definition. If we use being gospel-centered as a cliche or as a trendy and sometimes subtly deceptive marketing strategy or as a facade to cover a seeker-sensitive approach to ministry, then we're doomed to eventual failure. But if we truly understand the gospel and how it should be at the center of our life and our priorities and of ministry, then we can live in a way that glorifies God. So let us start by defining terms. And it may seem simple, but the first term really to define is, what is the gospel? What is it that we are supposed to be centering? Now, this may seem like an easy and obvious question. Perhaps you are already thinking in your head of 1 Corinthians 15. There we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And as always, I'll be reading from the NAS 95 edition. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, we read, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Here in this passage, we have the gospel
define, in a sense, as that which is a matter of first importance, that Christ died, that he was buried, and that he was raised again in accordance with the scriptures. That is certainly good news, friends. But is that what we're to center in our lives? Simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Consider for a moment Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What comes next in Mark, dear friends? Well, it's not the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. In fact, it's John the Baptist in the desert. So it's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but what comes next is not the cross. It's not the death, burial, and resurrection, but it's John the Baptist in the desert. So if the gospel is simply and solely the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, why doesn't Mark go straight to the cross? We see here, friends, this is why we have to define our terms and why we have to understand what we mean when we're saying the gospel and what it is that we're centering. Gospel, as I'm sure you've heard, plainly means good news, and particularly good news about Jesus Christ. And certainly, friends, don't misunderstand me, certainly the cross, the tomb, the resurrection are the headline. If the gospel was a newspaper, the top of the front page headline would be death, burial, and resurrection, would be the cross, the tomb, the resurrection. Paul's matter of first importance, of course, the gospel, when referring to Christ's atoning work, is the matter of first importance. Mark even devotes half his gospel to that. Of the 16 chapters, 8 are dedicated to the passion, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But dear friend, while the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is good news of Jesus, even the most important good news of Jesus, it is not the only good news of Jesus. Consider for a moment Paul's description of ministry in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Paul says, "We proclaim him," meaning Christ, "we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. For this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which works mightily within me." Here Paul is giving a summary of his ministry, and really what I think is a summary of all faithful ministry. If ministry is not doing this, it is not faithful. What is that ministry that is faithful? It's proclaiming Christ, which includes, we have two modifying participles here, admonishing every man and teaching every man. Proclaiming Christ necessarily includes admonishing and teaching, with a goal of, he indicates that with the so that we may present every man complete in Christ. Our goal is proclaiming Christ, which includes admonishing and teaching in all wisdom, so that we may press others on to maturity. Now, certainly, this is not less than proclaiming his death, burial, and resurrection. But I would say, dear friends, it is more than proclaiming his death, burial, and resurrection. Consider what our Lord said in giving the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." This is, dear friends, the Great Commission. Now, I know most of us, when we memorize the Great Commission, we usually only memorize verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But friends, let me encourage you, the whole thing is the Great Commission. And that begins with a statement of his authority. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." The Great Commission begins, dear friends, with recognizing the authority of Christ, the lordship of Christ over all of heaven and earth. And then it includes making disciples. In light of that, in light of his sovereign authority, we make disciples, which includes evangelizing, that's represented there by baptism, which is a testimony of conversion, and teaching them all he has commanded, not just teaching them the death, burial, and resurrection. Certainly, we're not going to teach them less than the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but we're going to teach them all that he has commanded. And then that all, it wraps up with this great assurance, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. So the Great Commission is recognizing his authority, making disciples, which includes evangelizing and teaching all he's commanded. And we do that resting in his empowering presence. Oh, dear friends, that is an amazing, we could spend a long time just thinking on and meditating on that truth alone of, as a description given by our Lord of faithfulness to the mission that he has given us. And I think this is a good understanding of what it means to center the gospel. Centering the gospel must mean centering Christ, which is recognizing his sovereign authority, being devoted to his mission for the church, and trusting in his empowering presence. So let me invite you, friend, as we think on this, to take some stock and really apply this truth to your life. Let me encourage you to consider one illustration. And I don't know, I heard this illustration, it's certainly not mine. I didn't make it up. I'm not that smart. And I really wish I could credit the first person I heard it from and give them credit, because it really is a good illustration. But the idea is there's two different ways to center something. There's a centerpiece, right? If we have people over for dinner, sometimes we'll put something in the center of the table, and it's just there to look beautiful. It does have an effect on the gathering because it looks beautiful, and sometimes we gaze at it. That's a way of making something the center. And then there's also a centering in the sense of the hub of a wheel, where everything is anchored in that, and everything is driven by that center. All the spokes of the wheel are driven by the center. They don't drive the center itself. So in what manner, dear friends, is Christ the center of your life? Is he like the centerpiece? You know, you think he's beautiful. You think his message is beautiful, and every now and then you gaze upon it and it warms your heart. Or is he the driving force behind everything that you do? Is he the hub of the wheel that is your life? Is he what drives everything else? You see, friends, if we're going to center Christ, if we're going to center the gospel, that must mean that he is the hub, that we recognize his authority in all that we do, that we submit to his mission in all that we do, and that we are trusting in his empowering presence in all that we do. That is what it means to truly live with the gospel, or with Christ as the center, to have our priorities all revolving around, not even revolving around in free motion, but driven by the gospel, driven by Christ. So let me encourage you, dear friends, to take some stock. I would encourage you to set aside some time, if you can today, but certainly soon. Set aside a good chunk of time and see. Take stock of your life. How are you making the gospel? How are you making Christ the center, the driving force in your personal devotions, in your personal devotion to him? How is he the center? How is Christ the center? In your home life, how does Christ, what he taught, his gospel, how does that drive everything in your home? In your vocation, whether that be work or school, how is Christ driving everything? How is his glory, his sovereign authority, his mission, and his empowering presence, how is that the center in your work or in your school? And then in your relationships, how is Christ in the gospel the center in your relationships? And let me encourage you to think about that in kind of three big ways: with the church, your relationships with other in the church, with your neighbors, and then lastly, online. How is Christ, his sovereign authority, his mission that he's given to us, and his empowering presence driving your relationships within the church, with your neighbors, and online? Now, of course, I didn't put family in the relationships there, because I'm considering that part of centering him in your home. Let me encourage you, take stock, ask how you're doing in these ways, and then come up with some resolutions. I know it's 10 days in, maybe it's a little late for resolutions this year, but come up with some resolutions. How do you intend to make the gospel the center in these areas? What does it look like? What does it look like for Christ and the gospel to be the driving force in your personal devotion to him? in your home life, in your vocation, in your relationships. And then come up with some goals, some actual goals for how to do that. Maybe it's you want to develop a reading plan for the year if you haven't already, or you want to stick to that reading plan if you've already started one. Maybe it's you want to intentionally invest in relationships. I'm doing this right now with my wife. We're reading a book together. We're hoping, Lord willing, to read two books together this year that aren't connected to anything else that we're doing in life and ministry. It's just us reading, thinking on things of the Lord, talking about it regularly. And I'm doing the same thing with two of my boys. We're reading through Thoughts for Young Men by J.C. Ryle together, and I'm talking with them about that. That's how I'm trying to center what Christ taught in my home life. What does that look like for you, dear friends? In your vocation, whether it be work or school. Now, this is easy for me. I'm a pastor, so it's really easy to come up with ideas to do this. But you can do this in your work if you're working in a secular environment in your school. It may take some more thinking, but definitely think about it and be intentional. And then what about your relationships? How are you trusting in or submitting to Christ's authority, being obedient to his plan and trusting in his presence in how you interact with others? Come up with some plans. Come up with some intentional designs to grow in this area, to make Christ and his gospel the center of these things. Dear friends, I'm praying for you as you listen to this, that the Lord is stirring up through his Holy Spirit ideas for you and things. And let me encourage you, faithfully pursue those things, knowing that he has already purchased you. He has already purchased your pardon, reconciled you to God, and you have an eternal life promised with him, and nothing can change that. But you can be faithful in light of that in the here and now, making him and his gospel the center. I pray this message has been an encouragement to you, and that this episode and the episodes that we have planned coming in the new year will continue to be an encouragement to you, friends, that we would truly, not in a cliche, not in a Christianese way, but we would truly have the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ, be the center of all that we do. I hope this message or this episode was an encouragement to you. Thanks for tuning in to Farmer Theologian as we continue to build deeply rooted practical theology. One more thing as we close, friends. If this episode has been an encouragement to you and you want to support Farmer Theologian, let me encourage you to do two things. The first is pray for me. I know that I cannot do this on my own strength, so I would greatly appreciate your prayers. And the second thing is share this with a friend. If this episode encouraged you, blessed you, given you things to think about that have pressed you on to love and good deeds, then please do share this with a friend. And then come back next time for the next episode, Farmer Theologian.